of you heard Mary's testimony this morning when she came at the end of the service. Like my wife said, I should have handed her the microphone or had her get up here. But anyway, she had gone to the doctor the other day, a couple of weeks ago, and found a lump in her breast, and they thought that it might be cancer, and so they looked at it, and what she was holding in her hand this morning was a letter from the doctor that said there was no cancer.
Amen.
So that was an answer to prayer. We've been had her on our prayer list ever since that we found that out.
Well, Monday I got a letter. Malignant melanoma on my shoulder.
Oh, you said you were going, yeah. So what are they going to do to it, Brother Arlen? Cut?
UCSD Medical Center, Morris Cancer Center there, have a surgeon look at it or go over it and do all the stuff.
You're on our prayer list.
Yes.
Yes, sir. You are. Also, when Naomi came by and dropped off the bulletins about the singing, which is coming up, you know, Friday week, with the Weatherfords and the Darts. She dropped those off, and we were talking about her mother. Helen is on her last legs. Listen, if she lives until May the 7th, I believe it's May the 7th, is her birthday, and she will be 98. Not 98, 94, I beg your pardon, 94. Because it's Dorothy that's going to be 98. Well, we're getting some old-timers right here. But Helen is in a bad way, a very bad way. And Naomi said she's probably been to church already for her last time when she's here a while back. They try to take good care of her, naturally. But they have to sleep, and at night she woke up and had to go to the bathroom. So what does she do? She goes to the bathroom. Doesn't even take her walker. And so what happens? She falls. And when she falls, she hurts herself. And she's got kind of bummed up. She didn't break any bones, I don't think. Just got bruises. But pray for Helen. I've always looked at her as kind of like family, because my Uncle Charlie, who was my mother's oldest brother, married into Helen's family down in East Texas before Helen ever came out to California. That's been 100 years ago. Nearly. We're talking about ancient days, a long time ago. But anyway, I've always claimed her as kin. And she's always been very sweet and precious, and I've appreciated her. And she likes to come to our church and hear me preach and fellowship with all of you people. Brother Art.
Yeah, Pastor Joel's a mother-in-law. She's a mid-age or older, but she had to lose the house. These things are not there, so.
Yeah.
They were all my own. You know, people, go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
One
thing about it, when we get old, the Lord doesn't leave us nor forsake us, does He? He sure doesn't. We have a wonderful, wonderful Lord. We've got a good Bible study tonight. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 24. This is Jesus talking, and He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat," now a corn of wheat is a grain of wheat, you understand that, "except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." It's talking about a grain of wheat. If you take a grain of wheat, set it up on a shelf by itself, it will sit there and sit there for ages and ages. In fact, I've heard some people say that over in Egypt, when they have gone into some of those ancient tombs of the pharaohs, a lot of them were buried in the pyramids, they have found grains of corn that have been there for thousands of years. And the strange thing about it, they could take one of those ancient grains of corn, put it in the ground, yes, it germinates and grows and produces fruit. Amazing, isn't it? But Jesus is talking here, except a grain of corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We're looking at soil and seed. They go together. You can see the connection, because if the seed is to germinate and to grow and reproduce, it must be planted in the soil. Jesus used this analogy to speak of his death, burial, and resurrection. Think about this. When his body was planted in death, that was the seed. It rose in resurrection splendor. And because he lives, we shall live also. We are the fruit, the product of his resurrection, are we not? Brought forth much fruit. But in this message tonight, I want us to turn our thoughts to an even larger, or perhaps I should say broader, concept of this soil and seed that goes back thousands and thousands of years. I want us tonight to look into a covenant that God made with Abraham back in 1892 B.C. It's recorded in Genesis chapter 12, and it has to do with soil and seed. By way of introduction, let me say that this actually begins with a man by the name of Terah. He lived in a place called Ur in the land of the Chaldees. We know that area today as Iraq and Iran. Back in the Bible days, it was called Mesopotamia, which means land between the rivers. It's got that P-O-T-A-M-I-A. That's kind of like hippopotamus, which is a river animal, you know. Mesopotamia, land between the rivers, the rivers being the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers. That area is called the Fertile Crescent, and it's looked upon as the cradle of civilization. That's where mankind began on earth. Terah lived there. He had three sons. His oldest son was named Abram. Second son was Nahor. The third one was Haran. About 1927 B.C., Terah uprooted his family. By the way, his son Haran had died in Ur of Chaldees. But Terah and Abram and Haran and their families headed out for the land of Canaan. He never made it. They stopped at a place called Haran. I don't know what connection that had to do with his son that died, but it has the same name. But Terah settled there, and he lived there until he died. And after Terah's death in 1892 B.C., God appeared to Terah's firstborn son, Abram. By the way, the name Abram means high and exalted father. How in the world a parent would name a child a name like that, I don't know. It turned out to be pretty good. God made a covenant with Abram. So over in Genesis chapter 12, I want you to see it here, beginning in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And then we read on down in verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, this is an addendum to this covenant in verses, the first three verses. He said, unto thy seed, here's where the seed comes in, will I give this land. There's your soil, the seed and the soil. Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now, later in the 17th chapter, turn over there just a few more pages, Genesis 17, verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land. There's the soil again, don't you see? The seed and the land. The land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, he changed his name to Abraham. Abraham means father of the faithful. I'll give you this now. Abraham is a very unique individual. He's the only man in the Bible of whom three times he is called the friend of God. He's the only man that's called the friend of God. Now, James tells us in James chapter 2, verse 23, that Abraham, our father, was justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. That's Abraham. Now, looking back there in Genesis, that 12th chapter at that covenant that God made with Abraham, it's a sevenfold covenant. First, he said, notice the I wills. I will show thee. And God here promises to show Abraham the land. This is it. This is the land that I'm going to give to you and to your seed as an everlasting inheritance. It's yours from now on. And Abraham saw it. In fact, Abraham lived in it for the rest of his life. He lived in it for 100 years. That's a long time to be in one place. But he lived in it in tents. He lived in it as a stranger. You know why? Because he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't going to be satisfied with anything down here. He says, God has something better for me. Then God said, I will make of thee a great nation. Now this nation that he speaks of there is going to be the nation of Israel. And it's going to come through Isaac and Jacob. Jacob's name, you know, was changed to Israel. And it'll be Jacob and his descendants who will go down into Egypt, and they will stay down there until they become a great number of people. And then God will appear to Moses at a burning bush in the wilderness and commission him to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. And Pharaoh is going to let them go. Moses is going to lead them out across the Red Sea on dry ground across the wilderness. They'll stay in there for 40 years. And then Joshua will lead them into the promised land that God gave them as an inheritance. He will go to a place called Shiloh. They will set the tabernacle up there. And he will divide the land. Joshua will divide the land among the 12 sons of Jacob. In chapter 17, we read that there, that God enlarged his promise to Abraham. He said, a father of many nations. Many nations, that's more than one, isn't it? Have I made thee, I will make nations of thee. And did you know that that includes, I suppose, just about every nation that's over in that part of the country today? Yes, even the Muslim countries, particularly the Muslim countries. They look back to Abraham because they're the descendants of Abraham through Ishmael. Ishmael's mother was Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid of Sarah, you'll remember. And then besides that, after Sarah died, Abraham married again a woman named Keturah, and she bore him 6 sons. And they and their children became the heads of great tribes and nations in that part of the world. And God was fulfilling his covenant with them. I will make many nations of thee. Then he says, I will bless thee and make thy name great. And today there's probably not another name outside of Jesus Christ that is greater than Abraham. Because, like I say, Abraham is revered by all the Muslim peoples who, well, they do accept Jesus as a prophet, but not as the Savior. So Abraham is blessed. His name is great. And he said, "Thou shalt be a blessing." In other words, his life is going to affect other people's lives for the good. "I will make thee a blessing." He said, "I will bless." Now here's something interesting. "I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee." Wow. That's true today. That's one reason why the United States needs to stay on the good side of Israel. I know Israel's out of the will of God. I know they still reject Christ, and I know that they're not a perfect nation by any stretch of the imagination. They're not, probably not any better than any of the other nations that's around them. But I'll tell you what, they're the apple of God's eye.
Amen.
And if America ever turns their back on Israel, I'm one of those people that thinks we're in deep trouble.
Amen.
Yeah. "I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee." Then he says, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." In thee. And we'll get to that in a little while. Because that speaks about Jesus, the seed of Abraham. But then there he said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." And those, of course, are the descendants of Isaac. So this covenant that God made is summed up in those two words, seed and soil. As for the land, this covenant guaranteed Abraham. Read it in Genesis 15, verse 18. "In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land." Here's the boundaries of it. "From the river of Egypt to the south, unto the great river, the river Euphrates, to the north." And ever since God made that covenant, did you know that Israel has never occupied all of the land that was given to them under the Abrahamic covenant? They never have. They came the closest during the reign of Solomon. If you go back and read about the extent of Solomon's kingdom, there was more of that land under their possession at that time than there ever had been before or has been since. They're pretty small right now. But these are the boundaries. And then the second part, the seed, that's the people. That's most important. His seed will be preserved and they will produce the Messiah that we talked about this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the product of the seed of Abraham. Genesis 15. Beginning in verse 3, listen to this. "And Abram said," he's talking to God, "behold," he's getting old now. You know, when you get 100 years old and your wife is 90 and past the age of childbearing, she's been barren all her life, and such as this, you gotta give up hope. He said to God, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed." You keep talking to me about my seed inheriting the land, my seed inheriting the promises. I don't have any kids. He said, "And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," here's God's answer, This shall not be thine heir, talking about his servant. This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And brought him forth abroad. It was nighttime. And said, I like this. God says, Abraham, look up now toward heaven and tell the stars. Now that doesn't mean for him to talk to the stars. The word tell there means count. Count the stars, Abraham. He couldn't do it. He got up to about a jillion and quit. Count the stars, Abraham, if thou be able to number them. And he, God, said unto Abraham, so shall thy seed be. Now listen to the next part of that verse. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted it unto him, Abraham, for righteousness. He believed God. And God counted it unto him for righteousness. Now, in Genesis 17, verse 19, we're still working on his seed. God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And in Genesis 21 verses 12 and 13 says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, I can't wait. We got to get over in the New Testament. We got to listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Christians in the church at Galatia and says in chapter 3, verse 16, he says, and to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, plural, whole handful, no. He says, but as of one, and to thy seed. And then three magic words here. He says, which is Christ. Now, it's coming together, isn't it? Abraham and Jesus. Jesus is the seed, the promised seed of Abraham. Now we're getting somewhere. He goes on to say, in this I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. God gave it to Abraham by promise. That's his promise to Abraham. Now, we're teaching in our Sunday school the book of Matthew, and recently we went through the genealogy. There's a genealogy of Jesus that's given in Matthew and another one that's given in the book of Luke. And you'll notice that the lineage of our Savior through both genealogies goes back to Abraham through David, the king of Israel, of the tribe of Judah. The seed of Abraham. And you know, to every generation on every continent, the story of Abraham has been told. People to the north and the south and the east and the west, on both sides of the equator, know about Abraham. Abraham was the man of faith. Abraham became the model of those who want to please God. If you want to please God, look at the example set by Abraham. Follow his example. Now this faith of Abraham was demonstrated when he was childless. He had no heirs. He had no son. God promised him a son. He waited 25 years for that promise that God had made to be fulfilled. And it was not until he was 100 years old and his wife was already 90 that the promise of a child was fulfilled by a miracle of God who has power over the human body. God calls a 90-year-old woman past the age of childbearing to conceive and bear a son. Come over into the book of Matthew and you'll find that God visited a virgin by the name of Mary. And Mary conceived and bore a son, and that son was the seed of Abraham. Both of them miracle children. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. When God made a promise of a child, Abraham believed God, and his faith was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, his faith was tested. You read on over to Genesis chapter 22, and one day God came to him when Isaac was a young man, young boy, grown. He said, Abraham, listen to this. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. That's the second time, by the way, in the scripture that the word love appears. Whom thou lovest. And get thee into the land of Moriah. And what am I going to do when I get there, Lord? God says, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham did not question God, but he rendered complete obedience to God. His only son, the heir of the promise, the covenant that God had made with him, he's asked now to surrender as a burnt offering to God, a human sacrifice. And he was going through with it. They went 3 days till they reached the place. And then they got up there and son's carrying a load of wood on his back. He said, Father, we got the fire and the wood and everything else we need, but he says, where's the sacrifice? He said, my son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Yeah, he sure did. Himself, that's right. He'll provide himself a sacrifice. Got up there on the mountain. He took his son, his only son Isaac, bound him, placed him on the wood on that stone altar on top of the mountain, and was ready to offer his son to God. In his mind, he knew that he was serving a God who was able to raise him up from the dead. Yes. He had no qualms about taking his son's life, because he knew that God was able to raise him up from the dead. That's faith. That's faith. And again, God said to him, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed, single, not seeds as of many, but singular, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because, Abraham, you have obeyed my voice. I love that. And you know, when Jesus came, it said of him over in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him," what? "The seed of Abraham." Love it. I love it. He took on him the seed of Abraham. Truly, Abraham believed God. Abraham's unshakable faith in God should inspire each of us to exercise our faith in a God whose promises never fail. What seems impossible to man is possible with God. We serve a miracle-working God. He's wonderful. And I hope that this message tonight has increased your faith as it certainly has mine. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Raul, will you lead us, please, in our benediction tonight?
You run this thing.
How you doing, baby?